Welcome to the Chirpin' Birds podcast. We're coming to you on an early Saturday morning. Eagles are 6-1 after their 31-17 trouncing of the Miami Dolphins on Sunday Night Football and Kelly Green. They prepare to take on the Washington Commanders tomorrow, and they sit atop the NFC at 6-1 with the Niners losing their second straight and Brock Purdy getting concussed, possibly not playing this Sunday, but we'll get into all that before we get started. Mike, how you doing?
Let's just say thank goodness for the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah.
This team is really holding the city afloat sport-wise right now, but it was a really nice win against one of the AFC contenders, really probably the most sound win of the season. It's definitely up there in like the Sirianni era for wins, so a really nice win, a nice bounce back win after the Jets loss. So a lot to like, including the jerseys. I was a fan.
Yeah, so I think like the big offensive bit outside of Jalen, is it, you know, AJ Brown continues his 125 plus yard streak. I think that's five games in a row. So he's tied with Calvin Johnson for the record. So if he gets another 125 yard game this Sunday, tomorrow, he'll hold the record. So it's kind of funny because the way the season started offensively, you know, the famous fight or, you know, discussion on the sideline that wasn't about targets, but was about targets, but it's not about targets. Since then, he's been on fire, and it looks like he might surpass his last season, which was obviously an Eagles record, and I believe yards, and Devontae had the record in receptions or something like that. So another great game for AJ Brown, 10 catches, 136 yards and a touchdown. His biggest catch of the day, I forget exactly how many yards it was, but possibly Jalen's best throw. Well, definitely his best throw of the season, but one of his like all time best throws, fitting it in there. It must have been at least a 40 yard pass. Fitting it between two defenders with pressure in the pocket. So that at the time it was like, you know, I think they were up a touchdown and that drive put them up two, but, and it was kind of a tight game. The third quarter was a lull in their dominating performance, but that throw was highlight reel, like career highlight reel, I think. So exciting bit from Jalen. What else? Dallas Goedert had a touchdown. The tush push was successful like four plus times. There's a great mic'd up from Dallas Goedert trash talking the tush push. I'm just trying to quickly go through the offensive highlights before we get to Jalen. So
yeah, how about the tush push deep in their own territory?
It's funny because it's like at the second it was fourth and one, like I don't know about you, but I thought like they should just tush push. Then they bring the field or the punt unit on, and then they call timeout, and then they do the tush push, and they're successful. So in both instances, whether they would have punted or what happened, which was they burned a timeout, like it was bad, a bad coaching moment, but it was the right decision. And not just because it worked, but I know it's a ballsy move to do that inside your own 30, but I just think the way that they've been playing, it's at home, Sunday Night Football, Kelly Green debut, like they're gonna get the yard on the tush push. Like
Yeah, I think in that play specifically, I feel like on that third down, it was like a pass to AJ Brown, and it looked like it was closer than it was spotted. I think if you're going to take that timeout, just make that a challenge. You get the built-in timeout, you're going to lose the timeout, so it's the same. You have the upswing of getting a better spot, even though I feel like historically those never really changed the call, but it's not like you lose anything considering you burned a timeout. So,
Don't you lose a challenge though?
yeah, but you still have that second challenge, don't you?
Yeah, but what if you need challenges later in the game?
I think that's unlikely.
Right.
I mean, considering where it is, I know it's like, it's not a big deal
Because in your
considering they got
scenario,
it.
you lose a timeout and you lose a challenge.
Yeah, but you don't lose your second challenge. You're not without challenges the rest of the game.
Right. But what if there's
Yeah.
another? I don't know.
I would factor in some of that risk given where the ball was spotted and where you're deciding to
Okay.
go from in your own
Yeah.
territory.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that just shows the confidence they have in this play. I think the current conversion rate is like 86%. So that is like that's up there with like as dependable as you reasonably can get with like an NFL play. I don't
It
know
should
what.
be, it should actually be like 95% or something. Like they didn't make it twice. Once was a bogus offensive offside call,
Oh, I don't
which I
think they
guess.
count that because they converted on that. It's just they were penalized. I don't think that gets factored in.
I thought it, I, well, that's probably true. I think one of the broadcasters said something like they only didn't they only missed twice the whole year and one was a penalty. So maybe the broadcaster had it wrong. I'm pretty sure I heard that, but either way, yeah, it's a high percentage play and I feel like 1 yard or shorter, it's automatic. 2 yards is when if it was fourth and two there, I would have understood if they punted. But it was like probably less than a yard at the time.
Yeah, and how about after the game, Nick's direct plea to the NFL? If
They
every other
shouldn't
team could
ban
do it, they would do it.
Yeah,
Which is like,
exactly.
I think that is, if we're assuming reasonable actors are the ones making the decision to outlaw or continue to let this play be legal, I don't think you need to go much further than that. Like, of course, I think down the road, I don't know. Where do you currently stand? Not obviously not whether you think it should or shouldn't, but like, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I feel like the narrative on getting it banned, like I think teams can't get it banned just because it looks like a rugby play, something like that. I think the route that they're trying to argue is that it's a dangerous play that people get hurt on it, like Brock Purdy got concussed on a sneak.
Right. Do you think that's genuine?
I
Like,
don't.
if that was to be the course of action for them to outlaw that play because of player safety, do you think that's genuine, or do you think that's like the backdoor way of just getting it out of the game so we don't have to like
Yeah,
have this
it's the backdoor way. I
ongoing?
mean, no one on the Eagles has gotten hurt, and they do it more than anybody.
Okay. So do
You know,
you think?
the Giants had those couple injuries, but they play on turf. I think turf is more dangerous than just another football play. Like WIP, like someone made the point that it's no more dangerous than any other football play. All football plays are dangerous.
Right.
So.
I do think like the sample of evidence is too small currently to say player safety is in jeopardy. Like I just don't think there's enough plays to be like, no,
Yeah.
that's too dangerous when
That
like
that's just
there's so
the
many other plays where there's probably a higher chance of getting injured in the NFL to their credit, like a very small portion of credit. Like they have started to remove plays that were that carried an elevated risk of injury, like kickoffs and, the running starts. So
Yeah, but
like
that's
that
running at
stuff,
full
yeah.
speed.
All I'm saying,
Those are full speed.
there is a precedent for them to like remove portions of the game that are dangerous.
I think
I
that's
think
why
currently
that's
they don't
the.
have the body of evidence. If they were to go about this in a genuine way, I don't think you could say like, no, like five people have gotten injured over the course of this season on like goal line sneaks. Like, I just don't think that you could find a good reason.
Yeah.
But okay, but you say right now that you
That's the
think,
avenue to get it banned, I think, is player safety.
and do you think it'll happen this off
I
season?
hope not. I at least hope that, to your point, there's too small a sample size around the league that they'll allow it for another season at least. And then
Okay,
we'll.
that's your hope. What's your prediction?
My prediction is they'll. I just think they have to keep it because the other
Well,
side.
that's your hope. What do you, so you're saying
My
you don't
prediction
think they
is they
will.
keep it and people are
Okay.
upset.
Okay.
I mean it. The other
So this
argument
year.
is that it's just an ugly play, and
Yeah, I
it's
mean that
like
means nothing.
of all the teams with horrible offensive lines, are you going to ban them from running the ball up the gut like
Yeah, I mean
handoffs?
the ugly play argument would strip out sneaks altogether. There's not
Yeah.
that big of a difference between having two guys behind the quarterback pushing after the sneak has already like commenced. I think people think
I
that
mean,
like
it's 11 on 11. It's the same amount of guys on either side of the ball, and the offense has to move the ball backwards before they can move
yeah.
forwards. So there has to be some
Yeah, no, I mean, you're
defensive
preaching to the
strategy
choir
to,
here.
yeah. So.
I feel like the conversation is nearing like political division, where it's just
Yeah.
people on a certain side are just
Yeah,
saying
that's
no.
them. That's
They're
unfortunate.
like, you try to propose evidence, you're like, nah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm sorry you see it that way, but here in reality, if you look at
Yeah,
what's happening,
there's no
there's
real
no good
argument.
reason.
I mean, I don't know all the other rules of like forward, like you can't fumble forward. Or you can fumble forward, but a different player has to then gain possession of the ball. Like you can't fumble yourself forward.
You know what's funny? People absolutely love the play when a running back isn't marked with forward progress and like the offensive lineman from like a few yards downfield catch up with him and create like a moving scrum that goes like 3 or 4 yards extra downfield beyond the line of scrimmage. People love that play where it's like, oh, he's not done yet.
Yeah.
And that's effectively what's happening.
That's a good point.
So,
Yeah. Okay. Jalen had a overall good game. Mentioned the big throw before. He's been consistently like even if he's had bad games, he's had one or two plays a game that are like special level plays. So that's like very encouraging, I think, and exciting that we have a star level quarterback that we're paying, not you and I, we, but the Eagles as the we, even though that's not a professional journalism way to refer to the team, but he's making star level money, he's making star level plays every week. The turnovers obviously have been an issue. He did fumble the ball inside the pocket, giving the ball to the Dolphins inside the Eagles 30, I believe. So that led to
field goal.
a field goal and had a weird pick six that was swatted into the arms of a linebacker who ran it back for an easy touchdown. And that was sort of a fluky series of events, but the decision to throw that was pretty poor in my opinion. The guy was bearing down on him with hands up and he threw it. like tried to throw it like through the guy's hands. There's been times the last couple of weeks that he's made those kind of decisions under pressure. I'm not sure. I think we talked about it last week, like if he thinks he's under pressure, like, yeah, like the Jets game, he's sort of hasn't made the best decisions. I won't say he looks frantic or he looks uncomposed, but he has made bad decisions at times that have come back to bite him. There's been times earlier in the season where he's thrown a questionable ball that like luckily hits the ground in one way or another, but that's been a little concerning. And now with the knee brace, information and how he said it happened before the game, they just played two games on turf in a row before this Dolphins game. So he's definitely banged up, wasn't on the injury report, but you have to think that the knee issue and the poor decision making in the pocket might have something to do with one another. What's your take on the injury and his turnovers?
Well, I'll say on the injury, he wasn't on the injury report the whole week, and he doesn't have a designation going into the game. So I think that's an encouraging development. He hasn't really – I don't think he's been on the injury report the whole season. So I don't think it's – whatever he's dealing with behind the scenes, I don't think it's to a degree that has like a clear and remarkable impact on his performance. And I don't know. To me, it's like, well – if it was a big deal, we'd be seeing it. And I just don't really see it that often. Like, I mean, there's times where he'll concede yards when he leaves the pocket and he'll just slide down to prevent a hit. I'm not sure, like, that's a big deal in, like, the bigger picture. Like, I'm fine with him slowly shaving off hits over the course of a season if it means we get him healthy when it comes time for the postseason, which we haven't really seen. So, like, until it's a bigger deal, I'm not really concerned about it. As far as their turnovers go, I think he's already exceeded or he's tied with, like, the amount of turnover-worthy plays from last season. So, like, that's concerning. I don't know what the root cause of that is, because up until the season he has been very safe with the ball. Like, he has made sound decisions, he hasn't put the ball into danger, so I don't really know what that is at the moment. Now I do think on some of those turnovers, those happen late in the play, and I think he is a quarterback who can extend a play, and the deeper you get into that play, like, I think your odds of having an explosive play go up, but so do the odds of having a turnover go up. So I think you're kind of like, to a certain extent, like, that kind of brings back the Carson Wentz, like, do or die. I wouldn't call it hero ball, because I don't think it often feels like he's trying to make something out of nothing. I think he's just trying to keep the play alive. And I feel like sometimes that can feel like a coin flip. And I think so far throughout the season, it feels like the coin keeps on landing on the other side. So I do think over the course of a season, maybe that evens out and we're just getting like bad rolls throughout the season. That could be oversimplifying it. Maybe there is something more pertinent as far as like play calling, or him not having his preferred receiver open late in the clock and he's forcing it. But like, alarm bells aren't going off for me. Maybe that's just because it's in a win. I know he made it, like, I don't think the interception late in the Jets game was like a late developing play. That was a bad decision. He should have ate the ball, taken the sack, not put the ball into double coverage. Like, I separate that from like the pick six play, which I think, or rather the fumble play, which is he held onto the ball too long in the pocket.
Yeah, I mean the Jets turnover. If you have two like interception buckets, and one's like bad interception, and one's like, you know, extending the play, or you know, like a fluky thing, like the Goddard interception where he had it and right, sort of bobbled it and all that. Like it's interesting. The difference to me is like the Eagles are still 6-1, so the hyper focus on his interceptions isn't like the national thing. It's more of like our you know, the Eagle report, you know, Eagle following is a little more keyed in on that. The Dak interceptions, like a lot of those are like the Jets one, like the Cardinals loss, with the Cowboys loss to the Cardinals, or marching down the field, had a chance to take the lead and he threw an interception in the end zone. Like those are sort of those are more of the concerning interceptions, and he's not consistently doing that. I think that's, you know, why Dak has earned the throws interceptions thing. And he's also done it year over year versus Jalen's, you know, hasn't been in the league that long. So there's a difference there, but I think it's, you know, to your point, they won the game and they got an interception back. The Jets game, they were 0-4 in the turnover ratio. So that's another factor. I think if they're kind of even, it might not be as noticeable. But the decision making, I think, is just questionable. But I mean, that's like there's some element of being like an armchair, you know, coach or something like that. Like we see the replay over and over again during the game. We see it after the game, like the split second decision in the game while you're have defenders bearing down on you. Like maybe it's just a poor decision, something like that. And to your point, yeah, they're 7 games in, it's week 8. Like they're approaching halfway through the season, but if he gets the turnovers under control the second half, then it sort of evens out. Like it's not a good year for him necessarily compared to last year as far as turnovers are concerned, but it's still you know, it's not like so alarming with the turnovers. And to the knee injury, like it's sort of the inverse of the Bears game last year where he was out and they wouldn't say anything. It's like now he's in and they won't say anything. So in both scenarios, we don't know much about the injury. And coming out of last offseason, we learned that the Bears injury was a lot more serious than this one seems to be. So he didn't have the brace the first half. He had it in the second half. It'll be interesting to see how that goes forward. But, you know, if he has a lower body type injury, or he's just banged up on the lower body, I think that will affect his pocket presence. So I do think that they go hand in hand, and we'll just see going forward how that works out. Anything else on the offense? No, it's funny, this game's almost a week old, and we're going about half an hour on the game, but a lot to say.
Playing up to par. Just yeah, Swift does continue to look good.
Right. As far as the defense goes, it was sort of Sean Desai's, you know, coming out party. He shut down the best offense in the league by a lot of measures. They had under 50 rushing yards. They might have had under 40. They kept Tyreek Hill to minimal damage. He did have a touchdown, but the team gave up 17 points. One was that pick six, so they really only gave up 10 points to this historic offense. The Darius Slay late interception really sealed the game. Defensive line put a lot of pressure on Tua, forced him into a lot of throws that, rush throws and all that. So,
yeah. And the thing about Tua is he throws it to a spot on the field. Did you catch on the broadcast? They said that like 12 times.
He throws it to a spot.
Yeah, like he's not, unlike Hurts, who's throwing it to a receiver, like the Miami Dolphins, like their offense is predicated on anticipation throws. So like they're throwing it to a window on the field rather than a player. The player's supposed to arrive.
Oh, I thought you were just making a pun.
No, that was something they kept on saying. It was also something the Eagles defense said after the fact, that like that's what they're preparing for, a lot of like zone looks, like defending blades of grass rather than the players. Josh Sweat, 2 sacks. He continues to look really good. Like we're now talking about like beyond Pro Bowl. Like he's looking at all pro probably if he continues at this pace. Nolan Smith had his first career sack, which was quickly forgotten because that was the play right before the Tyreek Hill touchdown. So I was like, felt kind of bad that his moan of celebration was like immediately wiped. But
yeah, nice, the Eagles posted the video of him watching the replay the day after. So that's a nice moment if you need one.
Yeah, it's good to see, because I mean, we haven't really heard his name that much throughout the course of the season so far. So a nice contribution. Would like to see more. I am curious if and when he overtakes Derek Barnett, who has been like even quieter. Fletcher Cox, Jordan Davis, they split a sack. They obviously had a big impact in the run game. And even though Hassan Reddick didn't have a sack, I thought he probably had the best game through the lens of run defense. Like he was just blowing up plays, like a really solid game, even if it doesn't look like it in the box score. So their defensive line really had game-breaking performance there. Definitely disrupted what Tua and Tyreek have been able to do this year. Now, Jalen Waddle was injured over the course of the game. He didn't get to see as many snaps as he would otherwise. That definitely was in the Eagles' favor. Eli Ricks saw some snaps at nickel corner. So Josiah Scott, I thought they did a serviceable job on a tough assignment. So yeah, really good game by Desai. I thought that was the type of game where Jonathan Gannon gets ripped to shreds. So it was really refreshing to see like a defensive coordinator come in with a game plan without all of his healthy starters and have just like a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was the first time this Eagles team in the Jalen Hurts era, I mean, it's not on Jalen Hurts at all for the offense, but it's the first time a defense beat a good offensive team like easily or period, honestly. So it's a great step in the right direction. And I think this game really put the Eagles back on track of, being firmly in that top three, top four team conversation. Because they weren't playing up to their standard for the season up until this point. They had the bad loss to the Jets, and now it was the first time I felt like they were back to last season, where it's just you turn on the game, you have a nice casual viewing, and they win by like 2 scores. So it was really nice to have that back, especially after the whole Phillies situation. So let's keep it rolling. And that's pretty much all I have on the game. big news from the week, the Eagles trade for Titans, former Titans safety, Kevin Byard. They send over a next year fifth, next year sixth, and Terrell Edmonds in the trade. Byard's a 30-year-old safety drafted in 2016. He was all pro in 2017, 2021. He's had a number of interceptions each of the last, basically his entire career out of two seasons, his rookie year and the 2020 year. He's had at least four interceptions.
It's a splash trade. They get a playmaker in the back five. And that was certainly an area that they needed. Not just depth, but like a dependable starter. I think it is probably the biggest move they make before the trade deadline. I feel like his name has been mentioned like over the course of the past few seasons. I think there's been continued interest in him, and like for obvious reasons, considering the state, the perpetual state of the Eagles safeties post Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod. So I think he and Blankenship make a really good duo. He's been a durable player. He's never missed a game in his career. That's something that the Eagles could definitely use the rest of the season. And he's like a ball hawk. You mentioned all the interceptions he's had. Now, he hasn't had any this season, but the season is still relatively young. And I think he's just an immediate upgrade at an immediate and obvious, like we're probably starting from like replacement value, if that being generous. And I thought the compensation was very fair. His contract this year is already somewhat paid by the Titans. Next year will be a discussion. If Eagles think he's worth it, I think they can cut him for savings if they need to. But right now I'm just excited to see him in Eagles uniform.
Yeah, and he's a local
Philly.
Yeah, he's a grew up an Eagles fan. I think he moved to Atlanta or something when he was 14, but his whole family's from Philly, and so that's exciting. And it's funny how unconfident you can be in the secondary 1 week, and now like you add one player and you're pretty much good. Obviously they had a Slay and Bradbury have different injuries at different times this year, so the depth at corner is still somewhat of an issue, even though they do have promising young corners. But his versatility playing different safety positions, can play corner, nickel corner if needed. Like he's sort of that chess piece type of guy. So exciting stuff.
More of a center fielder rather than like a box safety.
Right.
Is not a bad thing because they've needed that for a while.
Let's do a quick my guys check in. It's been pretty uneventful for most of us, most of our my guys this season, but we haven't done it yet. It's almost halfway through the season, so it's about time. As a refresher, Mike's my guys, Jordan Davis, Avante Maddox, and Rashad Penny. My guys, Cam Jurgens, N'Kobe Dean, and DeAndre Swift. So we each have like one ringer, and
we're down injuries to my guy.
Yeah. So it's basically my guy, Swift versus Jordan Davis. But, Jordan Davis obviously has had a great year, very impactful, developing as a pass rusher. Outside of Jalen Carter, most exciting defensive, like young guy, I think.
Yeah, I think he's definitely taken a leap. I think there were concerns from the first season to the second as far as like his conditioning, what he could do as a pass rusher. And so far, they haven't been treating him as a two down tackle, defensive tackle. I think he's definitely seen more third down snaps, which is encouraging. I do think in some part that's due to Jalen Carter. Like he's kind of taken some of that pressure or expectation off of Jordan Davis, at least from a fan's point of view. I think that I'm not sure like if in the locker room or the coaches see it similarly, but I think Jalen Carter's like tremendous rookie season so far has helped unlock Jordan Davis to a degree because of the pressure and attention that he's getting that kind of frees up Jordan Davis, or if it's Fletcher Cox, like I do think there is some downstream effect of how well Carter's playing for the other defensive tackles. But even accounting for that and separating it if possible, like Jordan Davis has looked like a better player this year, and that is big news for the Eagles.
Yes, Vontae Maddox obviously on injured reserve for the
Yeah,
entire
that's a
year
tough one.
with the torn
He
pec.
and like he may be done. Not from football, but like his Eagles tenure. I do think there's question marks there.
It's the last year of his deal, or you're
It's not the
saying?
last year of his deal, but they could determine that they could cut him for whatever remaining savings.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one.
Well,
I like Devontae
if he lives
and
with Dallas Goedert, that's going to be awkward.
yeah, a little bit. I don't think they're living together anymore, though.
Yeah,
I think
sad.
since they've both gotten contracts, they've
I
decided
guess that
to
makes sense.
live on their own.
And Rashad Penny, has fallen out, or I guess never was in the rotation, but
Freshest legs in the NFL.
it's interesting, with the Titans trading Kevin Byard. There's rumors of Derrick Henry getting traded. What Howie not being done? Connections being made there. I'd be curious to see what Rashad Penny may have if he they're not really using Boston Scott at all either. It's really a two-man tandem. So I don't know. I'd be curious to see what even Boston Scott can do. Like before we're talking about trading for another running back, I think Swift and Gainwell really hasn't been that great. I don't think like he has a couple big runs, but he also
Got his first touchdown.
that's true.
I do
He
think. Sorry, go ahead.
just doesn't get extra yardage like after
No.
contact. That's
Yeah.
the big difference. Like when Swift does it, when Swift did it in the first few games, it was like such a novelty. It was like, wow, running back is allowed to do stuff like that. And now that we're used to Swift, like it's a pretty glaring deficiency in Gainwell. And Boston Scott bounces off of guys. He gets a couple extra yards every so often, but he's such a small sample size that it's hard to tell if that's like, he does it a couple of times, but over a larger workload, he would be as successful. But not seeing Penny at all is sort of disappointing, considering when they signed him in the offseason, it's sort of like, oh, we'll see if he's got any juice, but no juice to be had.
I still think there's some part of me that's holding out the fact that he
Well,
could
you're
eat.
invested.
I am invested.
You have skin in the game
I do
to
think
hold
there's some
out.
like break in case of emergency quality to him. Like they're keeping him on ice. If there
Maybe he's not
was.
fully healed.
Yeah, but it's just if that was the case, we'd be seeing it on the injury report. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if like he has a game at some point, but I don't think we see that unless in some capacity Swift's not available and Gainwell's not available, because I do think that's still the priority. And you do wonder about the trust the coaches have for him after that. Like he did have snaps in one game, I forget the exact game, but like in pass protection he like let a blocker get through, and then it was a red zone interception. So he hasn't done himself any favors, at least in game action so far. But yeah, it's a swing and a miss on that prediction for sure.
Right. We mentioned DeAndre Swift. Obviously, he's been one of the best backs in the
Yeah,
league.
he's been great. I think the Lions are definitely kicking themselves for
Right,
what
especially
they
with
traded him
drafting
for.
Gibbs and not really using him and all that. But yeah, not much to say besides you know, he's been stellar this year, and hopefully, you know, that continues through the season.
Has looked like a clear upgrade from Miles Sanders.
Yeah,
Like
that too.
He
Yeah,
has good.
Miles had a similar thing where like he didn't really make guys miss. He had, I think what made him like the lead back was he did have you know, a toughness to get a couple yards after contact, but he wasn't like slippery, and he wasn't laterally agile like Swift. Swift makes someone miss a couple times a game.
Yeah.
And he, you know, finds he just seems like a more confident decision maker and
Yeah.
has better vision.
He seems more explosive than Sanders did too.
Yeah.
Like he has the ability to get yards after contact. He has the ability to like juke a guy, like we saw last week where like a linebacker did not get a finger on him and they're kind of like face to face. So that's something that Gainwell doesn't have. We saw that like in glimpses with Sanders early on in
Yeah.
his contract, but towards the end, not so much.
And when Swift gets tackled for no gain, you're like, whoa,
yeah,
that's weird. So that just goes to show he's been playing very well. Cam Jurgens, you know, has been on IR. I wonder if this is probably like his last game on IR where they can activate his window after this week.
Yeah,
I think
I
it's his
think
fourth week.
It's yeah, I think it's his. It'll be the earliest they could do it is next week, but I don't think we've heard much about like his
His foot.
recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah, the foot sprain. Now, the only thing we did hear was like it's not expected to be a lengthy one, so I do think it's probably in that like 4 to 6 week recovery area if you just had to guess. But
yeah, and Opeta's been doing well. And we saw last week that when Lane is in there, it's not that Cam Jurgens, not to discredit him, but when Lane's in there, that right guard spot is pretty much shored up enough to win a game. So hopefully Cam's back. It'll be interesting to see how he progresses after the injury. You know, a young guy. Not everyone will be exactly the same, but you know, Jordan Davis had the ankle thing last year and was never the same coming back. So maybe they're not going to rush Cam back, but we'll see how that develops. And
real quick, the other sneaky thing that the Eagles haven't had to address is with their backup center being on IR, like they haven't had to open up that like Pandora's box of like what happens if something happens to Kelsey,
right?
Because then you would be going down into like your third center, who I don't know if they would trust like Fred Johnson. I don't think it's Sua. The most likely one might be Dickerson, but then you're pulling
yeah, that's
another
not good.
starter, and who's your you would have replacements at both guard spots, your third
I feel
center.
like they have someone on the practice squad or something.
Well, I did see Toth has been claimed. I think he went to like the Panthers or somebody. So
Wasn't
keep
there
him
a
in.
Anderson, something Anderson?
Jack Anderson was, I don't think he's currently with the practice squad, but that is a name. I don't know if they'd feel comfortable with that, but
I
you
don't
know,
think
fingers
they'd
crossed
feel
we don't even
comfortable with
have
anyone.
yeah, fingers crossed we continue without having to know what that road looks like.
Yeah. And my guy, N'Kobe Dean, you know, had was on IR, sort of was supplanted a bit by Nicholas Morrow, who's been playing really well. So it seems like his snaps are sort of, you know, being split up, hasn't really flashed since he's come back. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I think you have to run with the hot hand at linebacker, and Cunningham and Morrow have been playing really well. So hopefully, you know, those 1 year guys sort of, at the very least, give Nakobe another year of development and he can sort of improve enough to be the, and stay healthy to be the lead linebacker next season. But, you know, we're less than halfway through the year. So, there's always a chance for that change, but I don't have much on Nakobe. It hasn't been bad. Like, you know, we living through the Nate Gary and Alex Singleton and whatever else years, like he's solid, but he's not like flashy.
Yeah. I still feel like it's an incomplete grade on him. Like we don't have enough information to really kind of fairly grade him. I don't think it's a great sign that these veterans they signed late into camp have been able to push him for playing time, but you don't know how much of that is injury related or like learning on the job time. So
right,
just something to keep an eye on for the back half of the season.
All right. The Eagles play at 1 o'clock, I believe for the second time this season, second out of three times. They go down to Landover, Maryland to play at FedEx Field, where they have done very well the last couple of years. Play the Commanders for the second time. We have to go in position by position as we have already done that, but you know, the Commanders coming off a 14, or I should say 7-14, I guess, a loss to the Giants on the road. They're coming off of two road games. They beat Atlanta. They lost to the Giants. They had lost to the Bears following the Eagles game. It was sort of an interesting three games there. They're three losses in a row. They get killed by Buffalo. They take the Eagles to overtime but lose, and then they get killed by Chicago 40-20. So that Atlanta game I didn't really watch, don't remember much, but they won 24-16, 8-point victory, and then they only score one touchdown against the Giants. So I don't know, you know, they're coming off a loss to a bad team, whereas the previous game, they came off a loss to a good team. You have last year's track record of, you know, the Eagles playing well in Washington, and the Washington beat the Eagles in Philly. So if that holds steady, the Eagles will have a solid, you know, win, but we'll get into predictions later, but that's just based on the trajectory or the, you know, pattern there. I think Sam Howell's bad. Where do you land on Sam Howell?
Well,
because you were really defending him going into the Eagles game last time. Him. Yeah, you did. You said we don't know if he's bad.
I was trying to keep an open mind.
All right. Well,
I was trying to.
We're an Eagles podcast, observe. So you don't have to stay positive on a Washington
positive.
It was more positive than I was neutral. Being.
So.
All right. Well, now he's played in four more games, because that was before the Eagles game. So he's 1-3 in those games.
So Sam Howell, he has 7 interceptions, 2 fumbles. The Commanders have been the most sacked team in the league. I think that all poses, that's all very beneficial for the Eagles and their defensive line and their, you know, this defense that has now, they're getting both their starting safety, their new presumably starting safety if they feel like he's ready. So they're getting those two guys, both quality safeties. They have, I don't know who's going to be that nickel cornerback. Roby's out for the game. They kind of have a rotation that they're playing with there. Sam Howell, it's like hard for me to shake the performance he had against the Eagles. As he looked really good. Like he looked elusive. He looked like he was navigating the pocket well. I think the Eagles, they did get 5 sacks on him in that game. 3 tomorrow. His like Hall of Fame moment. But I do think this Commanders team coming off a really bad loss to the Giants, I do feel much more optimistic about this matchup. Even though, like, I think we're both optimistic about the matchup the first time around. It's just, I don't know how to square away that performance because the Eagles had no business, like, going into overtime at home against the Commanders. Like, that was still, like, a very odd game in retrospect. But yeah, I do think the Eagles will have their chances to get to Howell. And I think as long as the Eagles, like, this is a game where they need to be either turnover neutral or like turnover positive. Like they can't like play around and like they can't like play like loose and free with the ball, which they haven't won the turnover battle in like 4 weeks. So this is a game where you definitely want to win it or at least keep it neutral because the talent on paper, there's a large discrepancy. If we're looking at it by DVOA, Eagles offense to the Commanders defense, Eagles ranked 9th in the league offensively, Commanders ranked 26th in the league defensively. And then on the other side of the ball, it's almost identical. Washington's offense is ranked 27th in the league, Eagles defense ranked 10th in the league. So Eagles got two top 10 units, Commanders back of the league on both sides. So if you're just looking at it that way, it's like, man, this really should be an easy game. Would hate for it not to be.
Yeah, I think the pass that I'll give the Eagles from the previous game is it was in the first 4 week window where I don't judge the team, how they win. I because of the one seed and all that, like I judge them on winning, but I don't necessarily look to patterns and so of course it informs patterns later in the year, but I don't hold that against them. So unlike you, I don't hold that Sam Howell performance against the Eagles. I think they've found their groove a bit. The Jets game, I think they kind of I don't want to say like trap game or anything like that, but they had been winning, playing ugly football, and to some extent, I feel like there's an element of like, oh, we'll just we won't step up our game until we have to. And the Jets game was like proof of not being able to sleepwalk through a game against a poor opponent. So the Dolphins game, I think, woke them up. They were really solid throughout the game on both sides of the ball, except for the couple of turnovers. I think the Eagles round into form, and I don't want to spoil predictions or anything, so I won't say specifics, but that my feeling going into this game is what the Eagles Steelers game was last year. Like I think they're starting to turn a corner and playing consistent football, which is a good time to do that with Dallas, on the horizon there. And then after the bye, their gauntlet begins. So I think they should finish this first part of the season strong into the bye, and I think the Dolphins game was sort of the start of that. As far as the team in general, like, Brian Robinson sort of averaged out. Like he's a good back, but I don't think he's like a game plan for him type back. Their run defense has been really good. They obviously held Mostert to limited production last week. It's really just Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson and Curtis Samuel is questionable as they're sort of guys they have to keep in check in the secondary. But Logan Thomas doesn't scare me. Their offensive line doesn't scare me. From an offensive perspective, like if the defense has 75% of last week, they're gonna hold them in check. And I think that, they have a whole game's worth of tape. Sean Desai's like finding his stride there. So I'm not really worried about the defense and their offense. I think that the only thing you really worry about, which has been consistent for Washington for the last few years, is their defensive line. You know, they played really well last week, even if they did give up 34 points. So, yeah, you know,
Chase Young, he had a sack in their first matchup. Same with Jonathan Allen. Chase Young, I know he was out for like, he was injured for a few seasons there, but he looks like he's like back to kind of what he was when he was drafted. So he's still like a formidable edge rusher. And he got that sack on Jordan Mailata, I believe, in the first matchup. But yeah, I think the only change that happened since they've met the first time this season on defense is their first round draft pick, Emmanuel Forbes, who AJ Brown like sunned in their first game. He had like 170 yards, something like that, and two touchdowns. Like, it was a dominant effort. He's no longer starting, so you could say that means the Commanders are kind of spiraling if they're benching their first round pick, or maybe that just means that they don't think he's ready and they're now putting out a more dependable cornerback while the other guy kind of like learns and observes. But I don't think that really changes much for AJ Brown. I think he's going to like go out and feast on whoever it is. So just felt like that was worth calling out.
Yeah. I mean, they're a 3-4 team. They seem to be solidly the third place team in the division. And I don't think they should be overlooked, but I do think that they have these glaring flaws that are that should be insurmountable. Like, the Eagles should totally dominate them. As far as their injuries, they have their left guard. Is that their starting left guard is out? Yep.
Yeah, I believe so.
Shadiq Charles. And their linebacker, Cody Barton, is out. Curtis Samuel is questionable. And their backup defensive tackle, Fedarian Mathis, is questionable. Everyone else should be there to go. Benjamin St. Juice, their starting corner in place of Forbes, was limited with a thigh on Thursday. Didn't have a designation Friday. So, yeah, I it should be a win. There's no reason it shouldn't be. I don't have much else to say. This should be a professional win. They go into FedEx Field and take care of business. So, Eagles are 7-point road favorites. So at home, they would have been 10 point. That's how I like to look at it. So, yeah, that's two scores. Not bad. And I think you went first last week, so I'll go first with my predictions.
All right.
And I think this is the week to do this because of the trade, but I'll give Kevin Byard an interception in his first game with the Eagles.
Okay. My first one here, Eagles defense will tally 3 or more turnovers. I mentioned this already, but through 7 games, Howell has 7 interceptions and 2 fumbles. The Commanders' primary running backs, that's Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, combined for 4 fumbles. So I do think this is a game where the Eagles can definitely capitalize and get back in that plus column for the turnover. So the 3 that I have it down, funny enough, I also think a Byard interception is likely. Now, I also have one for his safety mate, Reed Blankenship, and his return. And then my 3rd predicting here, Reddick gets a strip sack.
Funny enough, I have that same exact prediction. Washington with 3 turnovers, 2 picks, and a fumble. I don't have player designations outside of my
spot.
Well, Byard, obviously. Okay. I'll give Bradbury. You know, Slay got one last week. Give Bradbury one. And I'll give Jalen Carter a fumble recovery.
Just a recovery?
Forced fumble and recovery.
Strip sack. Gotcha.
What, yeah.
Are you saying on the quarterback or on running back?
Quarterback.
Okay.
Make it flashy.
Nice. My second one here, DeAndre Swift breaks a touchdown run of 30 yards or more. He has had good games. We haven't seen him really break a long one yet. And I think he's due for one.
Good. My final prediction, you know, we've been talking about AJ Brown a lot. I think this is the week Devontae Smith gets back in the fold, give him 11 catches, 175 yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
Big game for Devontae.
Yeah, I do feel like he has been kind of due for a few weeks now. It just seems to keep on going AJ Brown's way, so I could certainly see that happening. All right, my third one, this is like a little bit of a niche one, but given Reed Blankenship is back, we're presuming Kevin Byard is ready to start. So you got your two safeties there. Terrell Edmonds, he's now with the Titans. Justin Evans, he's on IR. Sidney Brown is healthy, and he was drafted as a safety. But given that they don't have Bradley Roby, I think for this game, Sidney Brown sees the majority of the snaps in the slot. I think it's a game where they're heavy favorites. He is healthy. Both the safety spots are presumably locked up. I think this is a good chance to at least kind of let him dip his toes in, see a lot of snaps, evaluate him. You do have Ricks and Josiah Scott as backup if you need to pivot out of it. But this is a game where, like, I think you can kind of put the bumpers, like, all right, it's Sam Howell, like, maybe Terry McLaurin sees a lot of snaps in the slot, in which case you probably don't want Sidney Brown to be matched up on him. But otherwise, like, I think this is a good environment to see what the rookie can be for you.
Yeah, if I had to bet, I would bet that wouldn't happen. I think that's kind of bold because, you know, they did draft him as a safety. He's a rookie. You'll probably want him to develop as a safety if, you know, they're as protection if they cut Byard or whatever, if they don't retain him. So, you know, if they want to cross train him and have, you know, give him more versatility, and that's the kind of player they see him long term doing, then I can see that. But I just don't see the point in, like, getting him reps in a position that he's not going to play in, especially as a rookie. So and they don't necessarily need it because they have Josiah Scott and Eli Ricks and all these other guys, and Roby coming back hopefully soon. So I agree with you that it's the environment to do it, but I don't agree with the giving him reps at a position just cause.
Well, I don't see it as like just do it for fun. I see it as they don't have their starting guy. Maddox isn't coming back this year, or at least that's what we think.
Yeah.
For the rest of the season, you're going to need a guy there, and I'm not even sure if Bradley Roby is the best option. So this is a time where Sidney Brown, he's not going to be playing at safety unless something happens to one of the starters, or they decide to play like three safety looks at some point. I think this is a time where, like, you at least see what he can do there. We know that the Eagles defense, like, they don't see slot and safety as like two completely separate like jobs or responsibilities. That's like there is a blurred line, especially between those two positions. So I think it's an opportunity for him, or it's an opportunity for him for sure, but it's also an opportunity for the team to see the rookie that they drafted in the third round in a relatively safe environment. And you got the backup. So I think it would be like, let's see what he has. And maybe if it works out well, this could be something that could really help us throughout the rest of the season without a clear solution in mind at slot corner.
Yeah,
so I think don't think you're just doing it to do it. I think you're doing it to see what your options are for the rest of the season.
Sure.
That Avante Maddox isn't returning.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see, but I still don't think it will happen. I think it's very unlikely. Player of the game. I know I mentioned Devontae Smith with the monster offensive game, but I think the defense really takes the spotlight. Yes, thank you. My player of the game, Jalen Carter. I on the fly gave him a strip sack fumble recovery. So we'll give him that. We'll have his return to dominance from his ankle injury. And I think my final score prediction will show a little more on why I think the defense will be the star of the show despite a good offensive performance.
Yeah, and you called out the left guard. He's going to be out, so Carter and the other defensive tackles should stand to benefit from that. Jordan Davis, he showed up on the injury report with a hamstring injury late in the week. Tough to know if that's precautionary or if he's like in actual jeopardy of missing the game, but just something to keep an eye on. And they do have depth there, so I'm not too concerned about that. My player of the game, give me Hassan Reddick. I thought he played really well last week, stopping the run. We know that he's really started to come on here about the sack production. So this Sam Howell and the Commanders have given up the most sacks. I could see Hassan Reddick not only getting multiple sacks, but like stripping the ball. So give me Temple's own.
All right. And getting into final score prediction. I'll just say it. I was thinking of something clever. I'm just going to say the score. Eagles 27, Commanders 9.
Okay. Yeah.
So the defense holds them to 0 touchdowns, 3 field goals. And the Eagles offense doesn't quite hit 30, but they dominate.
Okay, so just so we're clear, not a touchdown and a safety. 3 field goals.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. I also have the Eagles scoring 27 and beating the Commanders, who score just 17. So Eagles cover on the road. It is a nice, comfortable win. They advanced 7-1 and leave Maryland with the W.
That'll be nice. So we'll see. It's funny because we don't always recap our predictions from the week before, but last week I had the Dolphins winning 35-28, which obviously didn't happen. I had Waddle going off, didn't happen. I was correct in AJ Brown continuing his 125 yard streak, and I predicted a lot of rushing touchdowns, which. Gainwell got it one, and I did not mention Gainwell at all. So I feel like we're on for at least one prediction out of the three.
Now, the last time the Eagles left Landover, Jalen Hurts, was that when Jalen Hurts almost got knocked down by the falling railing? Wasn't that last year?
I think that was,
or is that 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Okay, so whole last year I'm just forgetting about.
Maybe it was last year. I don't think it was last year. Because there was a game where he was back there and they had the security guy Dom, by the right. Yeah.
Dom was holding it up
for something. Yeah. So it was 2 years ago.
Well, hopefully with Josh Harris's money, they've since re-injected some of those funds into repairing the stadium. So nothing like that ever happened.
He went from no stadiums and 2 teams to in 10 years, probably 3 teams and 2 stadiums. So we'll see. But we'll be back next week after the game. In the meantime, for Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.